Well, hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. And here's where I want to start. I want to start with a story about my son, Corbin, okay? Because this has been a big transition year for him, more kind of transition summertime, because he just got done with fifth grade. Moving to sixth grade means he's going to middle school. Big deal for him, okay? On top of that, here was the bigger change that he was not so excited about. That meant that his time in kids' ministry was done. I'm glad you guys felt that way. I mean, I did. He was like, this is not good, Dad, because church, adult church is boring. He's like, son, I preach at that adult church. Just want you to know that. And so he's just like, I want to be back in kids' church, and I want to be able to do the songs, do the games, and those things are awesome, and now I have to sit because you guys talk a lot. And I'm like, you're not wrong. I mean, and so as parents, we're trying to figure out, okay, what can we do to help him? How can we help him transition? Because I do think this is a big moment. He's got to start learning and learning how to adjust and learning how to, because I mean, dude, you're not going to be a kid forever. You got to learn to navigate this. But none of our ideas were working. All right. Here comes his big sister. All right. Emma's like, I have an idea for you. How about you take notes during the sermon? I was like, I don't think that will work. Corbin goes, wait, I can do that? Son, you're always welcome to take notes whenever you feel like it. So now, these last few weeks, it's been awesome to watch. He brings his little notebook, and he's writing it all out. And all these things. I mean, he's taken up 4 pages because he writes so big, all right? But it also has helped. I'm like, here, it's on the app. It's right here. You can have the notes. You can just write it out. But it's been cool to see that and see the win, see the growth as he's trying to mature and become an adult someday. And this is one of those steps. The reason I tell you that story is because we've been in a series called Clarity. And going after these kind of churchy words and trying to bring more clarity to them. So we've talked about abide. We've talked about holiness. We've talked about faithful. And we talked about blessing. Today's conversation will be about sanctification. Big word, right? And most of us go, don't even know what it means, if I'm honest. And that's fair. But I want you to see where it shows up in Scripture. And also, I hope by the end of this, we see the reason I tell you a Corbin story, it has something to do with growth. And the process God is taking us through. So look at this in Leviticus. It says this, you shall consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. It's even a name that God gives himself. I'm the Lord who sanctifies you. And then in 1 Thessalonians, you see this in the New Testament. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will do it. And so to help us kind of, because sanctification and holiness sometimes get interlocked, to help kind of separate them a little bit, because Pastor Stephen talked about holiness, gave us a great definition, and then I'll give you the definition of sanctification. Holiness, set apart, different, dedicated to God. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. And so to me, holiness is the outcome God wants for all of us. Sanctification is the process he takes us on to get us there. And so there's going to be these moments along the way, just like we see in our own kids' lives and our own lives, where it's like, hey, there's got to be growth in this. And the beautiful part is, God's not going to be like, okay, you do it all. I'll tell you if you're doing well. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that's sanctifying us. He's the one walking us through this process. And so here's the thing, if I was going to give you a picture of this, it's like moving from a child to an adult, but think spiritual child to spiritual adult. Because there's a lot of things that happen in that. To be able to mature and be able to go, yeah, I don't think like a child, I don't process like a child. And thank God, all you adults in here, you don't. Because if you did, we'd be like, are you okay? And so that's a part of becoming an adult. And God's going, I want to lead you that spiritually. And you see this in Scripture too, especially when the church starts, where you have these writers who are starting to go, hey, let's get off the infant milk and get to adult food. So look at this in Hebrews. This is an example, and I'll give you two. So this is one, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. And you can almost see this is kind of a parent talk with the parent a little upset with where the kids are at. Does that make sense? So in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You can kind of hear the frustration. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You can kind of see this is like, hey, you're on this infant stuff, but hey, you've got to grow so that you can learn and be able to distinguish between right and wrong, evil and good. And they're not saying, hey, you can do that on your own. They're saying God's got to change your heart in that, but you've got to be willing to surrender, be humble enough to walk through that. Another example, 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? So even in this, Paul gives an example. You're fighting over teachings, man. And you've got it all wrong. You're still stuck on the infant stuff. And so I just give you those examples. Throughout the Bible, we see this maturing that God desires in us. And so go back to the analogy, kind of spiritual child to spiritual adult. I think there's spiritual child starts with this, you taking the step, going, I believe in God, I am his child. And the honest truth is that never changes. But God goes, but I don't want you to stay thinking you're just a child. I want you to mature and get to adulthood. And let's kind of label spiritual adulthood as the finished product of God going, you are now holy, you are in heaven, everything is finished. And you don't have to, and we've worked through the navigating the faith, navigating, you won't have that because you're not living in a broken world anymore. You get to be with me fully. You get to walk this out as adults together. So then you got to recognize what we're living in right now is like spiritual teenager. You excited about that or no? I don't. Because I've got a 13-year-old at home. And I just talked about Corbin. He's in sixth grade. Like, I'm going to have two here really soon. But I think a teenager gives us a good picture of what it feels like here on earth. To where we go, we know there's something better. I want to be an adult. I want that freedom. I want that responsibility. And we sit here and go, as I want that spiritual love. I want God's love. I want holiness. I want those things. But yet as a teenager, we're struggling. Like, but why can I not get there? Why is this so difficult? Why is this hard? But they get milestones along the way, right? Sometimes in some other cultures, when they turn 13, it's a big celebration. 16, you get a drive. 18, you can join the military if you want. And then even I would include that, there's sometimes you're getting your first job. All these major milestones along the way. And so when it comes to the spiritual teenager, here's what I want you to think of. I think sanctification is the milestone journey God takes us on to get us through this. Like, hey, there's gonna be these things along the way that I need you to see so that you can understand the holiness I'm putting in you and how you can walk through that. And so as we walk through this, I want you to see God is saving you and he has saved you, but he's now working through this. And wherever you're at, like whether you believe or whether you've been a Christian for 20, I think this is so good for us to process through and hear the milestones that he's taken us through. And you can find a lot of this through Colossians 1. We'll kind of walk through that passage. But here's the first milestone, sanctification milestone, becoming reconciled. Colossians 1, 21 through 23 says this, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So I want to start. Once you're alienated from God and are enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So here's kind of what God is alluding to in this passage. When we were created, there was a beautiful relationship between God, ourselves, other people, and creation. That is how he designed it when he made Adam and Eve, when he made all of us at that time. It was a perfect creation, perfect dynamic. All those relationships are in place. But then, and I'll show you this kind of just in a diagram here, sin broke all those relationships. Sin breaks it. And that's why I say sometimes we just go, sin broke our relationship with God. Yes, but he also broke our relationship with ourselves and how we think about ourselves. Also broke our relationship with others and how we just navigate things with others. And also our dynamic with nature. So all four areas get broken. And then salvation moments. So God goes, it's broken. We cannot reach this holiness. So we have to work through this. First, humanity, we've got to forgive them. And then we're going to have to teach them what reconciliation looks like and walk through this with them. And Jesus made it fully possible when he died on the cross and rose from the grave to where you can have reconciliation with God, build that relationship up again, and go, God, I get to walk this out with you. And then he does the work of like, hey, those negative thoughts you have about yourself, your self-esteem issues, your self-image issues, we're going to reconcile those. Those relationships that are broken, family members, friends, marriage, whatever it may be, I want to reconcile those. And then even with nature, how you navigate nature, how God's created world, I'm going to reconcile that with you as well. This beautiful reconciliation that God gives us. And here's, when Jesus signed it, he gave it all to us. He said, it's all yours. You were once alienated, but now you have all of this back. So then the milestone is learning how to walk in that reconciliation. I think of it this way. Remember the day you got your driver's license? You got that beautiful thing up there? There's your picture, you know? And what they told you is you now have free rein to drive wherever you want. And you were a terrible driver at that time. Because you had no experience. You had nothing. But they said, we trust you. We want to give you this responsibility. And over the years, you've learned to be a better driver. Hopefully. All right. With experience. Hopefully that. So think of this. Go back to the spiritual dynamic. Big milestone. Here go. God goes, I'm giving all of you this reconciliation. But we're going to have to walk through this. You're going to need to learn and have some experience in this. But know that I've already done this work for you. And as we walk through it, you're going to have to learn and go, wait a minute. Jesus died. And although I don't want to forgive that person, I have to. Because he's told me I need to reconcile things with others. And then there's the other parts of like, wait a minute, my relationship with God. God, are you there? God, I don't understand. Have you really forgiven me? Wait a minute. Jesus paid the price so that I can believe that. I don't have to doubt that. I can hold on to the truth. I can walk in this. But do you see how that takes time? And how God is simply, let me mold this. Let me, so that way it becomes solid. It becomes mature. Now you're eating on something that you go, no, this is not milk anymore. This is steak. This is beautiful. I see this now. So that's kind of that milestone where you start to go, wait a minute, I am fully reconciled. And I'm learning to walk that out. It's a gift God gives you. But I think the challenging question becomes, are you actually walking it out? Because someone can give you a driver's license. That never means you actually get in a car. So here's the challenge is going, God's giving you this reconciliation. How are you walking with it? Or are you just holding the card and hoping that, like, remember this, God? Remember when I got my driver's license? And he's like, yeah, but you never drove the car. You never walked through it. And you could put up fears, you could put up whatever, but what is getting in the way of maybe experiencing that milestone over and over and over again in many different areas of your life? And the beautiful part, being reminded, like, that's the milestone I get, that I get to reconcile these things because of what Jesus has done in my life. So that's milestone number one. Here comes the second one. And so it's the restoration of the image of God. So Genesis 1, 26 through 27 gives us how God made us. It says this: then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Once again, we have that. It's a beautiful thing, but sin broke that. And when I say sin broke that, here's what that means. It means that the Holy Spirit was not able to dwell in us, be upon us, because we are image bearers. And so God's, to be an image bearer, you are full of the Holy Spirit, because that's who God is. That's who the Son is. And then on top of that, being able to walk in that power. So that was broken. So what does God do? Once again, when he died on the cross, rose from the grave, he gave you the ability to restore that. Colossians 1 explains that. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Catch that part, okay? And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood and shed on the cross. So in this passage, it's pointing out Jesus takes the image of God, being the full image, everything. God's going, that's a perfect example. And not only is he fully God, he's fully human. And so when he dies, he's giving humanity the opportunity to restore that image of God again. And to show that, here's how it plays out. You see it in, I think the best example is the disciples. So 3 years, they're walking with the Lord. It's incredible. They're like, man, we're starting to do some things. But then Jesus is like, hey, I've got to die. And they're like, don't like that plan. Let's not do that. Let's do something else. And so you see they are in the sanctification process. They're not understanding all of it. And Jesus is like, no, you got to understand. I have to do this. So then he dies and they get really confused. They get lost, like many of us would be. Then he raises from the grave and kind of goes, even Peter there, he denied him before all this. And he goes to Peter like, hey, let's reconcile this. Walking through that first milestone. Hey, disciples, I know you believe in me, but let's get back. You guys are going to be the leaders of the church. So let's walk through this. And they all of a sudden are like, okay. And they start getting up, but they're scared. They're fearful. And God, and he goes, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to do next. Wait. And they're like, what? Why do we wait? And they wait for like 50 days. And the next moment that they have, which is very significant, is what we know as Pentecost. If you want to see it out there, here's a beautiful drawing to where the Holy Spirit moves, comes upon them, is in them. And Jesus even says, it is good for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And you see a dramatic change in these disciples. They get filled with the Holy Spirit and believe, and all of a sudden, they are leading with power. They are able to do these miracles. There's just this maturity that you see in them. And Jesus is like, this is why I want, so that humanity can have that restorative image of God in them. That they can walk in the Holy Spirit. They can have this Holy Spirit in them. He's going, that's what it means. That's when we get to the outcome of holiness. That's what it starts. You're restoring it. You're understanding the reconciliation. Now you're starting to walk in Holy Spirit being in you and through you. And it's a beautiful milestone. And you can see it in other places too. You think about Moses. Moses has a moment. He's believing. He's like, okay, God wants me to do something. Tries to do it, messes it all up, kills even an Egyptian. And they're all like, are you really going to be our leader? So he runs from it. And so he thought, I'm just going to live a simple life, going to be a shepherd, not going to bother anybody. What does God do? Hey, burning bush, come right here. You're standing around holy ground. Take your shoes off. And in that moment, he's going, I'm going to sanctify you, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to be in you so that you can go tell Pharaoh, you're going to let these people go. And he led that way. So you could just see this over and over again to where God is restoring the image of God in people. And so here comes a challenging question to you. Has God restored the image of God in you? Do you sense the Holy Spirit in you? Is he working through you? And sometimes we can beat ourselves up like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I got it. And I understand some of that. I've wrestled with that. Still do it sometimes. But the reality is, you're not the one doing the work. God is. The disciples didn't do anything. They waited for 50 days. It's not like they did some extra prayers, extra reading of the scripture, and boom, God gave it to them. But wouldn't we love that to be the system? They just give me the system, and I'll get there. And God's going, here's the deal. Are you willing to surrender your heart and be ready for that? Have you even asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit's power to come upon you? Have you even asked, like, hey, God, restore me to the image of God that you've called me to? That's what I was created for. Are you asking those questions? To me, that's better. Because you know, go back to the teenager analogy. How many times do they ask you to, can I start driving yet? Can I start driving yet? Can I start driving yet? Now, you might have I was the oldest in my family. I was pretty scared about it. So I was like, I want to give it a try. Actually, I don't. I don't know if I, well, hold on. Maybe I do. No, I was that. So you might be with that. I think we wrestle with that when it comes to this milestone. I think I want holiness. I don't know if I do. Yeah, I think I do. That seems scary. And we can kind of play this out. And God's simply going, I'm going to do this work in you. Are you going to recognize it? Are you going to work through it? Is your heart getting purified to a point to where you can understand it, work through it, and respond in it? And so, sorry, I told the story of Pentecost, but here's even, if you want to see the scripture behind it, just as know the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Huge milestone moment. And here's what I'd love for you. What if you had a moment to where you could look back and go, that's where it changed for me. Yes, I believed in God, but that was a moment I started living for him in a whole nother way. And growing in a way that I was like, God, this is incredible. My heart is surrendered. Have you had that kind of milestone moment with the Lord? Because I believe he wants to do that in your life. The question is do you believe it? So then, first one, being fully reconciled. Second one, restoring the image of God. Here's the third one. Reconciliation through community. Colossians 1, 23-29, you see this is even Paul's story a little bit. He's the writer of this, writing to the church in Colossae. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I will up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So to help, and here, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone full mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. What I love about this scripture is give you a little context about Paul. His life before was a Pharisee who was hurting, killing, and putting Christians in jail. Think about him writing that passage. I am now a servant to the church. I'm okay with the suffering I go through in that. Because now I am trying to reconcile the things in this community. Because being reconciled, stored the image, and now he's got this burning passion, and it's like, I want other people to experience what I've experienced. I can't shake it. I can't stand by and watch it. I have to go and do this. I have to let everyone I know be able to experience what I've experienced, the holiness that he's put in me, the sanctification, how he saved me. I want everyone. And so there becomes the question, are you fired up in that way to help other people experience what you've experienced? Are you willing to go, I want to do whatever I can so you can experience the same kind of reconciliation? That's why he says, I've become a servant. Do you use that language at all? Have you said, God, I want to be your servant to anyone and everyone because of what you've done in me? That's why I do feel like there is a little bit maybe of progression, but can these all happen in different orders? Maybe. This is the part about sanctification. I go, I don't fully understand all of this, but by the grace of God, I think he shared, like, here's some important things to understand. Here's some major moments that you would be going, yes, okay, I'm growing in this, I'm growing in this, I'm growing in this. And God is changed, transforming all of it for me. Because the danger is, okay, I'm being fully reconciled. I've got this restoration that God's doing in me. Do you see how it's a lot about you? And God goes, I want that relationship to go good. But there's going to be a point, this last step, to where you're going, when is it going to be about everybody else around you? And them being able to experience what you have. And reconciling things with the community around you and bringing that reconciliation wherever you may go. And as I was putting the sermon together, there came a point to where I was like, okay, this is all awesome. It's incredible to see what God's doing in the midst of the sanctification. But then the challenging question, why don't we experience it? Why don't we talk about it? I mean, if you were to be honest, would you say sanctification is happening in your life? I sure hope your answer is yes. But I think too often, the reason we don't experience it, I think there's three reasons. One, we don't pray for it. And I want to give you, like, hopefully that's not an excuse anymore. Well, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it. Okay, but now you do. Begin praying for it. Ask him for it. There's plenty of things you're asking for that you don't know the full weight of, right? Go back to those teenager years. You didn't know the full weight of driving, but you thought, I should drive. Think about the day you got married. You didn't understand the full weight of that at all. But God led you in that and said, hey, you made this commandment, let's see it through. And so when you're praying, God, I want to be sanctified. It doesn't mean tomorrow, if you mess it up, it's done. Because this is not about your work. It's about what God's doing through you and the transformation he's making in you. The second one is we give up on it. We mess it up. Relationships are broken. I don't have good thoughts about myself. And we just go, maybe this thing isn't for me. Don't let Satan's lie keep you from one of the biggest blessings you could ever have in your life. To where God's going, man, I want you to come on this journey with me. But are you gonna just stay there? Because you don't think you can walk any farther. Do you not think this milestone is for you? And too often we give up on it. We stop believing in it. And sanctification just gets stuck. Because we're not willing to go, God, I'm sorry, but thank you for your grace that I get to take another step. Surrender, God, help me. I don't know how to take the next step. And God's going, good, because it's my step to take anyways. And I'll show you how to do it. Right now, I'm in a mode of teaching him how to drive. It was awesome yesterday. We were driving in a parking lot. I think we hit 5 miles an hour tops. But I think God, in that moment, I look back to that, and God's going, you know, there's days you're going 5 miles an hour and you feel like you want to give up. Because you feel like you're going nowhere. You're just circling the parking lot. And God's going, but trust me, there is a milestone coming. There is sanctification coming, because that is my name. And I will finish the good work I started in you. Church, we have to believe it. And then the third one is, and I think this is to those, and this is where I would say I probably felt more convicted, is maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you just get comfortable. You're like, man, I'm going on this journey. You know what, God? This is a really good place to stop right here. Like, this is good. And God may go, hey, let's challenge you. And you go, nope. God, do you remember where I was? And I'm here right now. This is a pretty good landing spot. And he's like, we're not done. But we can let comfort be able to go, I don't know if I have time to do that anymore. I just don't know if I have time to read the Bible, or I don't have time to pray, or I don't have time to do the things that I think God would challenge me in. Or I just can't find the group that works for me, or this is comfortable. This is good. And sometimes you just get in the same routine, but down deep in your soul, you're kind of asking, is this really it? And so that's the part I would challenge you with. Has it become too comfortable? Because sanctification is not comfortable. Remember, teenage years were not comfortable. But just like a teenager, you can get to like, oh, this is a safe spot. Can I just stay here? I want to stay here. I love middle school. Can I stay in middle school forever? They're like, no, you have to go to high school. I don't like high school. But don't we do that spiritually? God, I'm doing really well here. I don't want to go do that. And God's like, you have to. This would be so good for you. Are you going to let me transform your soul? Don't get too comfortable. And I think that's a good prayer to ask. God, have I gotten too comfortable? When's the last time you actually experienced sanctification, where God challenged you and you got to experience another part of that milestone? Here's a story that I'll end with that I thought was so helpful, maybe putting this into perspective. It's a crazy story, but a good story. There was a guy who lived in a third world country, and all he wanted for his life was to live in a first world country. It's like, man, the houses they have, the food they have, I could have a job, I could do all these things. Just think of how fulfilling my life could be if I could get to that space. And so he's like, okay. And he's like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna buy a ticket and I'm gonna get out of here and go to that first world country. And so he saves up all his money, works hard, and finally gets it, buys that ticket. Think about how awesome that moment is. He's like, yeah, I've got it. Hope is coming. This is great. And so he packs enough cheese and crackers to make it for the 2-week journey he would be going on. Because at this time, all the way you could get there was through a ship. So he's got these cheese and crackers. He's going, I've got it. I'm going to make it through, but I have just enough. And so he's on the ship and he's, you know, going through his cheese and crackers. And then he'd watch some of these people who, man, they had these beautiful meals that the crewmates would put together for him. And he's like, man, those first world people, they're pretty awesome. Someday that will be me. I'll get to eat those meals. I'll get to sit in those seats. And so as he's getting into his journey, he's just seeing, he's getting those hope moments. But then last 2 days, he's like, okay, this is it. This is the last part of my cheese and crackers right here. All I got. And so he's eating it. It's done. Next day, he is starving, trying to make it. His voyage is almost there, almost ready to make it to the first world country. And so he's looking in, watching again, like, oh man, I'm so hungry. That food looks so good. And one of the crewmates catches him and kind of opens the door and is like, hey, like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just looking. He's like, well, wait, well, you can come in and eat if you'd want to. And he's like, I didn't pay for the ticket. I didn't have enough money to pay for that one. And the crewmate gives him kind of this confused look, like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, I didn't have enough. I've always had these cheese and crackers, and that's just what I had, and I've just made it. I'm on my last day here. I ran out, and so I'm hoping. He's like, well, hey, when you bought that ticket, all these meals were for you. We've actually been preparing a seat for you every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We just were thinking you didn't want to eat it. Just think of that moment. And wonder if that's the same conversation God's having with us, where you go, you've settled for a cheese and crackers kind of faith, kind of sanctification, kind of love. I want to give you the full course meal. Don't settle for that. And the funny thing is, this is where we get comfortable. Like, I was talking about this illustration to staff, and they're like, but cheese and crackers is good. It's really good. Yeah, but it's not a full course meal. And that's the part where you're going, some of us don't believe we deserve that fulfilling life. Some of us don't think it's for us. We haven't prayed for it. We've given up on it. And some of us have gotten too comfort and we just like the cheese and crackers. So I want us in this moment to respond to whatever truth God's giving you in this moment. For some of you, it may be beginning this relationship with God and starting the journey of being a child of God and walking this through. Because you never knew that God cared about you that much and wanted you to experience the full life. For some of you, you may need to have the conviction that you're going, God, I'm sorry, I gave up on it. I thought my life was too jacked up. I didn't think it was possible. But for some of you, you just need to start praying for it. Because God wants to make you holy. Jesus' word said, I have come that they may have life to the full. And for that to happen, he wants to take you through this beautiful process of sanctification and hit the milestones along the way and go, I'm so proud of you, son and daughter. You are moving from the milk to the good food. And I'm so excited for you. And that's what I want all of us to experience. And so that's why I think it's important. The only thing we can do in that is respond to him and allow him to speak to us. So as a church, we've talked, we need to sing, we need to bring, we need to pray. I don't know what those things will be for you. Some of you may need to sing. Some of you may need to bring some. I'm bringing my convictions. I'm bringing the things that got in the way. I'm gonna start doing the things God has for me. And some of you simply just need to pray and say, God, I'm earnestly asking for this. But our responsibility in this, just like every teenager, when a parent asks them a question, is to respond. You've got a heavenly Father who cares about you and loves you. Will you respond to his call to sanctify you? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the God that you are. And God, help us to fight what Satan is trying to do in this moment of making us believe that we are not worthy, we are unqualified, whatever it may be. Because we are your children, you say, I have a work in them and I will see it to the end. You said other words, I have come that they may have life to the full. God, may we truly experience that, because there are too many in here who would say, I don't have life to the full. And that's not because your promise has not come through. It's probably because we've stopped believing in it or we don't think it's possible. And so God, convict our hearts right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to come over us, restore the image that you have for us, reconcile us to you, and give us this beautiful gift you've given us called holiness. To where we're set apart, we're different, and we are because we are your children. And so God, I pray that they, everyone, would be able to experience that. I want them to experience what you and I have talked about, the beautiful moments of growing and recognizing, God, I'm so sorry for being a teenager sometimes in my spiritual walk, but I'm so thankful for the milestones you're giving me. So God, I pray
We would be a group of people who learn to respond to you over and over again so that we can experience your sanctification. And we can experience a deep, moving relationship with you. And so God, move in our hearts. Be with us, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us the courage to respond in whatever way we need to. I pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen.